We just thank you so much for today and be lifted high as we take stands for you and our family and our church and our community. And Lord, be lifted very high at Life Community Church, but in the lives of those that are represented here. And Lord, we love you. We thank you very much for Jesus and for what he did for us on the cross. And all of God's people prayed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for being with us, Taryn. Thank you for leading us, Ben. Thank you. Mark read our passage to us today from the book of John. There was two verses. If you have your program with you, you can follow along in the outline on that. But he read two verses to us today. And the first one was this. And these are the words of Jesus. This is Jesus talking. And he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. And then the next verse that we read was, sanctify them by your truth. And your word is truth. We are talking about choices, making godly decisions, right decisions, truthful decisions in a world that is really messed up. And what we learned last week is that the Bible teaches us that we are not to trust in ourselves. Instead, we are to trust in God, that we are not to trust in our own human nature on decision making, because human nature is busted. Human nature is failed. Human nature is flawed. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means I've sinned, you've sinned, your neighbor sinned. Look at the person next to you, and you can say you're a sinner, and you're actually being correct, you know, Matt, because we all sin, okay? We all sin, we all fall short of God's glory, is what the Bible says. So as a result of that, we live in a world that is influenced and impacted by sin, which makes it really difficult to make right decisions because everything around us is messed up. So we're praying that God helps us to make right decisions in a world gone wrong, making godly choices in our life. And we have a memory verse that we're working on, and you're going to have this down, and this is our memory verse. Can we say this out loud? Again, this is the words of Jesus. Let's say this together. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. We need to put that to memory day into our heart, that when it comes to decision making, it's not really what we want, because we are prone to do things that are stupid, that are dumb, that aren't right, but instead we are to do what God wants us to do, because his will is so much better for us than our own lives. Talking about making godly choices, Jesus told us that the Spirit of truth would come. That's what we just read. The Spirit of truth would come. He would lead us in the truth. He would guide us in the truth. And then Jesus went on to say that your word, or God's word, is truth. When we give our lives to Jesus, last week we talked about the first and best choice, which is to give our hearts to Jesus. When we give our lives to Jesus, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of truth comes inside of us. And the Spirit of truth, it's not weird, it's not bizarre, but the Spirit of truth is God himself. It is the Lord. When we give our lives to him, we kind of open the door up to our heart, and God comes and lives inside of us. He has another name called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us at the moment of belief. So when we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes inside of us to help us to love him and to know him. And we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is going to lead us to truth. Now, when it comes to decision making and choices and making the right decisions, do we want to make a false choice? Do we want to make a choice that leads us into the wrong direction? Or do we want to make a true choice that leads us into the right direction? Which one? True choices. We always want to go in the way of truth instead of a lie. Because a lie hurts us. A lie destroys us. A lie damages what God has intended for your life. So we want to go in the truthful direction. And the Spirit leads us into truth. Has anybody ever been to Mammoth Cave before? Anybody ever been to Mammoth Cave? I love Mammoth Cave. It is awesome. You know, if it's burning up hot, go inside the cave, steady temperature. Freezing cold, go in the cave, wonderful steady temperatures. Caves are awesome. I love it. Me and Taryn went to Mammoth Cave a couple years ago. Loved it. Massive cave system. You can go down in that thing, and there's all kinds of routes and paths you can take. They say it's one of the largest cave systems in the world, if it's not the largest. I mean, it's huge. You can walk in there, and there's a point And one of the tours that you go on, where you go in this room, and you all sit down in this room, and they say, everybody be still. You ever experienced this? Everybody be still, and we're going to do something. And they turn off that light, and you experience complete pitch darkness. I mean, you experience complete lights out. And they say that's total darkness there in Mammoth Cave when you go through that. Now, can you imagine trying to navigate yourself out of that path that you just went on? Hey, not even talking about going forward. I'm talking about going back to where you came, the route you already took. Could you, when you're sitting in that hole down there in the earth, when all those lights are out, I'm not talking about navigating the rest of the course. Could you get back to where you came from in pitch black? Could you do that? Don't think so. Too dark. There's no way. But then when you're sitting in there, what do? They take a candle, and they light that candle. And that candle shines throughout that whole. It's amazing what one little candle. It's amazing. If you've never experienced, it's awesome. Everybody go to Mammoth Cave, and I don't get money for promoting Mammoth Cave today, okay? I'm just telling you it's awesome. But when they light that candle, it just glows. I mean, one little candle. And then that guide can lead you the rest of the way. Of course, then you know they turn the lights back on, and that guide follows you out. And I think about that. And when I was putting together the sermon this week, I thought, man, that is the perfect illustration for what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to guide us out of a dark, dark world. He wants to just take us where we really don't know what to do, and he wants to guide us. And the Bible says that the Spirit of Truth will guide you. It says it will guide you. And then Jesus said that he'll guide us in the truth. And then he said, your word is truth. Here's what's really cool. God has not, when we accept Jesus in our life and we give the Lord control of our lives, the Spirit comes into our life. Hear me, this is so awesome today. He doesn't leave us solo. It's not like you give your life to Jesus and then Jesus says, okay, it's all you. You're saved, you're forgiven, your past is taken care of, but just the future is uncertain. That's not what he does. He comes into our life, he forgives us of our awful bad choices in the past, he gives us grace for the bad choices we're going to make, and then on top of that, now he's going to guide us not to make bad choices. And he's told us how he does that, and that is through the Word of God. See, if you have a Bible today, the Bible is unlike any other book. It is a holy book, an anointed book, and it's a guide. It's truth. Kenny, do you really believe in 2012, a book that's been here for thousands and thousands of years, that has not been tampered with, has not been messed with, has not been corrupted, you really believe there's still truth in this book? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a second. But as we follow our outlines today, I just want to show you this, is that God is, when the Spirit comes into our heart, he's going to guide you into making truthful decisions, and he's particularly going to guide you to God's Word. Remember how I said last week that there's oftentimes we feel in our heart, we feel like something's the right decision, we feel. But I want to tell you something, sometimes your feelings lie to you. And they fail you. So if you're feeling something that the Word of God says that is not true, guess what? Your feelings are lying to you. Because the Word of God is truth. Feelings can lie. And I've had people say that, well, I know what the Bible says, but I feel like God's telling me this. Whoa, stop. God's not going to tell you something that contradicts the Bible. Y'all with me on that today? So if you're feeling God's telling you to do something, but it contradicts the Word, we got a problem. Because your feelings can lie to you, but the Word won't. There's three things I want us to know about the Bible today. Because when we're making right decisions, right choices, we need to really understand that biblical choices, choices made from the Bible, are truthful decisions. First, we need to see this, that the Bible is trustworthy and helpful. The Bible is trustworthy and helpful. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 reads this. All scripture is inspired by God. If you have your Bible open on your piece of paper there, underline all. All scripture is inspired by God. So let's just pause right there. That means that the Bible itself declares that all of that from Genesis to Revelation is the work of God. Now, let me just tell you something real quick about the Bible, if you didn't know this. The Bible is 66 different books inside of one big book. So it's not like it's an ongoing story. There's different books in the Bible, and there's different people that wrote the Bible. The Bible never claims that it just fell out of heaven, and then it was just given us. It never claims that. It was written by the hands of men, but it was inspired by God. Well, Kenny, if it was inspired by God, written through the hands of men, I mean, why wasn't that messed up? Because the Bible says inspiration is there. Inspiration means God breathed. You may have a translation in front of you that says all scripture is God breathed. Imagine this. Imagine a sail on a boat out on the sea. And as the wind blows, that vessel moves forward. Well, that's how scripture is. Men was writing the Bible, but it was God breathed. The Spirit spoke to them, and as they wrote and they penned the Bible, it was the words of God coming out. God was inspiring these people. And just for a nutshell, just for kind of a tidbit, let me tell you this. You start doing archaeological research on the Bible, you start digging deep into this, you know what you're going to discover? There's no other book like this. It is absolutely unbelievable. We had massive amounts of copies of the Scripture, you know, ever since when the Bible was closed and when they stopped writing it. And many people wondered, well, didn't the copies get messed up? I mean, from a copy to a copy to a copy to a copy. Didn't we lose something? Hey, do your homework. Do a little bit of history research. In the 1940s, there was two little boys playing in Israel. 1940s, this is recent history. They're throwing rocks into caves, just, you know, like little boys do. And one of them throws a rock, and all of a sudden he hears a crash. They kind of look at each other, and they're thinking, well, what was that? So they hike up into this cave, and they find all these jars in this cave. It's the weirdest thing. So they go and tell somebody, and they come and look, and two little boys made the greatest archaeological discovery this side of history. Unbelievable. In the last 60, 70, 80 years, one of the greatest discoveries ever. What they found in those jars was Bible manuscripts dating back thousands of years. And you know what happened? You know what happened? When they compared those copies of the Bible from thousands of years ago to what we had in the 1940s, guess what? Nothing changed. Everybody just go, whoa. Tell me that's not an anointed book, that it survived thousands of years and nothing changed. Unbelievable. We call that the Dead Sea Scrolls. You ever heard that before? That's what those are. They were copies of the Bible that were discovered in 1940. They were copies, but what we see is that even for thousands of years, the story goes that even that when the Jewish scribes would translate the Bible, that they would do it with such ease and such, you know, particular. They were so particular that when they came to the Word of God, that they would throw away the ink pen they were using. And they would use a fresh ink pen. They would take a bath. They would put clothes on. And they would make sure when they wrote the name of God that they were in the right mindset. See, that's how they translated the Bible. So because it was cared for in such meticulous ways, you know what happens? We now have the Bible the way it was intended to be right now in front of us. See, God's Word is anointed. I mean, come on, tell me. 2,000 years and mistakes aren't in there. God's all over that. Am I right about that? He's all over that. So we look at the Bible, and it is inspired. We can trust it. But it goes on to say that it's also helpful, that it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here's what the Bible does. It gives us wisdom. It gives us knowledge for everything, for how to train, how to teach, how to rebuke, how to help. The Bible helps us do this. It helps us understand this. This is a book that's about real life. This is a book that just shouldn't just set up on your coffee table or collect dust. This is a book that really wants to guide you, that really wants to help you in your life. Well, Kenny, my problem with the Bible is this. I don't understand it. You ever had that problem? Raise your hand. I don't understand it. I mean, I read it, and it looks like I'm reading some sort of Shakespearean play or something. I just don't get the Bible. Well, let me tell you something real quick. The Bible was written predominantly in two different languages. Okay, I'm not trying to give you a big history lesson. I'm sorry if my sermon's turned into a history lesson. I don't mean that, but I just want to tell you this real quick. The Bible is in predominantly two different languages, Greek and Hebrew. There's a little bit of Aramaic in it, but predominantly Greek and Hebrew. When it was written in Greek, they chose to use street Greek, everyday street language. There was a scholarly Greek that they could have used, like some of your plays, like Homer and all those guys, they wrote in scholarly Greek, not the Bible. The Bible wrote in everyday Greek, which means what? It was intended for who? Everyday people. So when you read the Bible, it wasn't meant to be some mysterious book. It was supposed to be understood. It was supposed to be understood by you. It was written by God. It was written by men, inspired by God for everyday people. God's instruction for everyday people. So with that, unless you know Greek or Hebrew, I don't. If you do, I'd love to pick your brain. You got to have an English translation. You got to have an English translation, which means that you got to copy the scriptures into English. Now, translations, they had them in the 1600s. They had them in the 1600s. We know that, okay? But you don't have to use a translation from the 1600s. There's different translations that still preserve the Bible. You know, I'm reading out of the Holman Bible. You can get an NIV, an ESV. It goes on. Get something you understand. And second, know where to start in the Bible. Know where to start. The Bible is like a little miniature library. It really is. A lot of people think, well, I got to start from the beginning. And they do that. They read about, in the beginning, God created. But then you get to some of those books after Genesis, and it gets really hard to understand. It's tough. It's tough. You get into Leviticus. It's tough. So I tell people, hey, view the Bible as a library. You know, first off, when you go into a library, you don't pick up a copy of Moby Dick, and you flip through it, you read two pages of Moby Dick, you put it up on, and then you pick up a copy of Anne of Green Gables and read two pages of that. You know, that's not how it works. So when we do the flip and point method, well, God, what do you have today? I'm just going to flip it and point, and then I flip over here and point. That's not really a good Bible study method because you're not getting the context of the scripture. Y'all with me on that? So know where to start. I recommend start with Jesus. Start learning about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the stories of Jesus. Very easy to understand. Children can understand those stories. Children can understand those stories. If you've never read the Bible all the way through, can I challenge you to do something? Don't try to start with Genesis. Start with the book of John. Start with the book of John. And when you read that book of John, read with an ink pen in hand. You know why? To mark it up. What? Marking the Bible? Yeah. I'm not telling you to mark it out, all right? I'm telling you to mark it up, which means that when you read it and it speaks to you, underline it. Man, put that bad boy on an index card. And man, you read something Jesus says and it just jumps out at you. Man, put that on an index card. Put that on your bathroom mirror. Put that on your dash. And when you're going through a hard day, you read that and it just blesses you. Write notes. I mean, you're reading something, it just jumps out and gets you. Make a copy of that. Write that in the margin. Say, man, this is today I read this and this is what I was dealing with and God's word was alive. So understand that when we come to making decisions, we got to know that the Bible should guide us because the Bible is trustworthy and helpful. The Spirit of God leads us to truth and the truth is God's word. Second, I want you to see this, that the Bible enlightens. The Bible enlightens us. The Bible says your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Psalms 119 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. See, the writer of Psalms said that God's word was like he was walking on a dark path, kind of like in Mammoth Cave, and that lamp would show him the next stamp, the next step. It's like the word of God was a lamp that just kind of walked in front of him, and he knew which direction to take. Listen, God's word lights our path. It helps us to make right choices. Yes, the Bible, I mean, what's the Bible about? You're going to say, well, it's about God and heaven and hell. Do you know it says a whole lot more than just heaven and hell? First off, it's showing us God's plan, who God is, but most importantly, God's plan for us. It's showing us what God desires for us. For example, did you know the Bible shows us, yes, what heaven and hell's like? Yes, but it does more than that. It shows us God's plan for our marriages. It shows us God's plan for parenting. It shows us God's plan for finances. It shows us the meaning of life. Did you know that? The Bible tells you the meaning of life. And it's to glorify God. Your meaning of life is to glorify God. That's the meaning of life. Everybody's trying to figure that out, and the Bible tells it. Your purpose is to glorify God. That's the meaning of life. I mean, the Bible is not some just archaic book. It really speaks into what you're dealing with. Depression issues are mentioned in the Bible, anxiety issues, health issues. All God's plan for that. See, it's not just something that collects dust that we don't have to understand. I mean, God gave this to us to light our path. And if we start taking that advice and we apply that advice, okay, God leads the truth, the Word is truth, and the Word says that this is how I should conduct my marriage, and we follow that, God's plan is always the best plan, then we begin to make right decisions. Anybody have an iPhone 5? Out of curiosity, anybody got an iPhone 5? First off, you can give it to me if you don't want it, okay? Because I really want one. But here's the thing. When iPhone 5 came out, and you know, Mac, who can touch Mac? Who can have any fault with the Mac, right? I mean, everybody loves Mac, right? But when iPhone 5 just came out, there was a major glitch with the iPhone 5. And that was what? The mapping system. Did you guys hear about that? The maps are totally messed up on the iPhone 5, and they cannot fix it. I was looking at some pictures online of it. There are some geography pictures that the mapping system on iPhone 5 in the Netherlands that have big spikes coming out of the ground. I mean, just crazy stuff that Mac messed up. And you would think that, man, how could a company like Apple mess up a mapping program that they had just fine on their previous phone? How could they do that? Well, you know, I think about that. There are so many places that we want advice from that we think are experts, but that don't give us the correct advice. For example, you turn to TV shows to light your path, they're not going to give you God's input. You turn to self-help books to light your path, not going to get you there. You turn to horoscopes, not going to get you there. By the way, horoscopes are a form of witchcraft, definitely not going to guide you in that direction. Definitely not going to do that. Even friends and family that aren't godly and don't understand the Bible can give you bad advice. But when you turn to God's Word and you apply biblical principles, you're going to get truthful deals. So we have to ask ourselves, are we being enlightened by the Word of God or by other things? Are we letting the Word of God influence us, or TV shows, people, politics, et cetera, influence us? What does the Bible say? Third, I want you to catch this. The Bible leads to Jesus, and Jesus is truth. Now, before I read this next verse, I want to tell you, we need to have daily Bible time. We need to sit down with our Bible when the morning begins and study God's Word. Again, pick out the book of John, pick out the book of Matthew, a translation you can understand, get in the Word, begin to read it. You know, if you read 4 or 5 chapters a day, you can read the Bible in a year. Do you know that? 4 or 5, that's it. 4 or 5 chapters a day, you can read the Bible in a year. That's amazing if you think of it like that. You break it down, it becomes a lot easier if you do that. So you're reading the Bible, you study it, you pray. When you read it, you ask God to speak to you. But I want to tell you something. The Bible has a purpose. And that purpose is not just a self-help book. It's not just to give you the word of the day. It's not just to give you an encouragement. There's a bigger purpose in the Bible, okay? I want you to just to see this from John chapter 5. Jesus said this, "You pore over the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me. And you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life." Jesus said there was a group of guys that loved the Bible. They studied the Bible. They memorized the Bible. But when Jesus was standing in front of their face, they didn't believe in Jesus. And Jesus says if you do that, if you memorize the Bible, you study the Bible, but you don't let Jesus impact you, you're doing it all in vain. See, the Bible's not for us to get head smart. Y'all with me on that? It's for us to know Jesus in a personal way. You know, I've met some guys that know the Bible like the back of their hand. I mean, they know the Bible. They are scholars, but they're as mean as a rattlesnake. And I just think, where is Jesus in this? You know all this Bible, but where's Jesus? You know, you're just kind of a jerk to be around, and I don't understand that. Why are you doing this? But the Bible leads us to know Jesus. So as we study God's Word, it's not for us to get head smart, though you will get head smart. It's more than that. It's for you to encounter Jesus and to learn from God and to experience God and to touch God and to know God. It's to have a meeting with God. Y'all with me on that today? It's not just head knowledge. It's to know God. And Jesus said this in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, and he's what? He is the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when we connect to God's Word, which is the Bible, which is truth, and then we connect to Jesus and its truth, we're going to be making truthful decisions. Y'all with me on that today? If we let the Bible guide us. And the chief message of the Bible is that we are sinners. We've messed up. God lovingly created us. We rebelled against God. We have chosen our own way instead of God's way. And now we stand in judgment. But God sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message. That's what it's about. That God is restoring a relationship. That God is healing us spiritually. That he's saving us. And that's the purpose of the Bible. It's to understand who Jesus is so you can connect to Jesus on a personal level. So today, what do you do with this message? Today, it really boils down to two things with decision making. Two things. Are you self-led or are you spirit-led? That's what it really boils down to. Are you self-led or spirit-led? If you're self-led, your decision-making will be what you want to do, where you want to go, what makes you feel happy, what makes you do this, what makes you do that, and you will walk down a very wide road which leads to destruction. So if you're self-led, that's dangerous today. If you do just what feels right, okay? If you do what feels right, that's a dangerous road to go down. I'm being honest with you. It is. It's a dangerous road if you do what feels right. Isn't that weird that a preacher's telling you that? If you do what feels right, it's dangerous. Or you can be spirit-led. And spirit-led is this, that we turn to the truth because the Spirit leads us to truth and God's Word is truth. If we're spirit-led, we go to the Bible and we allow the Bible to influence us and to help us to make right, truthful decisions. And sometimes, can I shoot you straight? Sometimes the Bible tells me to do things that I don't like to do. Anybody else want to be honest with you on that? Like, it tells me to forgive people that I don't want to forgive. I don't like that. I don't like that. It tells me to love my enemies. I don't like that. That's what it tells me to do. Why? Because that's God's plan. It's his design. And in the end, it's the best decision. So don't be self-led. Be spirit-led. And the Spirit leads us to the book. In closing, I want to tell you this. You've heard of Stanley and Livingston. They were, a long time ago, they were some of the first explorers to go across Africa, to chart out Africa. Stanley and Livingston was. Well, Henry Stanley of Stanley and Livingston was a brain. He was he was documenting stuff as he was traveling through Africa, you know, looking at this stuff. The story goes that when he started his adventure, I just want to make sure I get it right, that he had 73 books with him, weighing 180 pounds. That he had 73 books that he was going to carry with him on this journey. And he was going to hike through Africa with all these books on his back. Well, as you can imagine, as the journey got heavy and it got difficult, this book got left in that village. This book got left in that village. And that pack slowly began to dwindle down. At the end of his journey, guess what? Out of all those books, he dwindled them all down to just one. And it was the Bible. He says on that journey that he read the Bible three times through on that journey. I think about our journey in life, making choices, right decisions, what is the best thing for God, for that God wants us to do. Hey guys, this is it. He's guiding us. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Did you catch that? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Don't miss that. God has a plan for your life. And maybe today you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How I encourage you to give your life to Jesus. That's what the book's about a restoration of between you and God that's met through Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to Jesus? Is your life centered in Jesus Christ today? If you would, bow your head and close your eyes today, if you would. Maybe today you've never given your heart to Jesus. And maybe today you need to do that. You need to just ask Christ to come into your life. And you say, Kenny, I've never done that. I've never experienced a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I challenge you today to pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. It's not just magic words, but it's from the heart. And it's a prayer that goes like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. I believe you are God, Jesus. You came to this earth. You died and you rose again. Lord, come into my life and save me. Maybe you prayed that prayer today. You know, maybe you need to come forward and tell somebody. Maybe you're a Christian that's not been living your life grounded on the Word of God. You know, that could change today. God could do something different. Start applying the truth. Maybe today you, as a believer, need to come and pray and meditate or have somebody pray with you during this time. Father, we love you. We thank you so very much for what you're doing at Life Community. But God, I pray today for those that are here that we will begin to adopt a biblical way of thinking. Lord, because a biblical way of thinking leads us to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is truth. So Lord, as we have this time of invitation, people are invited to respond. People are invited to come forward and give their life to Jesus or to make their salvation public. God, people are invited in this time to come and pray. People are invited in this time to make decisions. Lord, we love you. Help us to make the right choice today. And the first and best choice is always Jesus. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.